do that very often. Y'all know me. I'm not a song person, more or less. Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs 29, verse 6, where we're going to be. Some of y'all snuck in here when I had my back turned. That's good. Good to see y'all again. But did y'all catch, we sung I Surrender All, right? And as soon as he started singing, Melissa was trying to point out on the page, like, we're right here, Kevin. Like, I didn't want to sing. I wanted to see what it said, right? Because I knew there was something in there that I wanted to read, and I just felt by way of the Holy Spirit. If you read verse 3, it says, all to Jesus I surrender. Guys, the songbooks can make you a liar as much as just about anything, right? All to Jesus I surrender. You know what that surrender means? That means you run up the white flag in your life and you say, Jesus, I can't do it. Do you know one thing Jesus can't do? You know one thing God can't do? God can't be second. Did you know that? He can't be second. He's the only one that can be God. So these songs, when you read them and you hear them, and there's what? Five of them says, I surrender all. And then the chorus says, I surrender all. He wants it all. And if you surrender your whole life to Jesus, give him your whole life, you won't regret it. Because here's an old euphemism, whatever you call that, or a saying, you can't outgive God. You can't. You can't outgive God. If you give him your whole life, everything, and every expectation you had, you can't outgive him. What's this verse 3? Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. What's that right there? Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. I ain't being mean or weird or nothing like that. Do you know what the Holy Spirit feels like? Do you know what it feels like? The Holy Spirit is different than doing what you want to do. It's different than just going and attending and hearing and being. The Holy Spirit is one part of the Godhead. And he's big God. And when he starts moving on the inside of a human being, that human being must resign to that Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's active, you don't get to say, no, God, I want to do it my way. You know what I'm saying? God is a big God. You need to really, really evaluate, is the Holy Spirit operating in your life? Is he leading in your life? Is he helping you make decisions? Is he helping you in your relationships? Is he helping you with your day-to-day operation with everything and everybody? Because if he is, you're gonna say some things and do some things and operate in a way that's really going to be hard for your flesh. Because your flesh is going to be screaming, do the opposite of that. I surrender all. Man, as soon as he said sing it, I don't know what it was, but the Holy Spirit just started moving in me and it said, you need to read this song. Don't just sing it, read it. Man, I don't want to be on the premises singing about something I ain't trying to do. I'll tell you what I do. I give God the stuff I'm proud of. I'll surrender that. God, I did this today. God, I did that today. I won't give him my bad attitude sometimes. I won't give him all my worries. I won't give him my anxious moments. Oh, no. I think I'm losing half of you. Sorry. Let's jump in. We're only going to get one verse in tonight. I'll tell you that. Plus what I just did right there. Proverbs 29, verse 6. I've been wanting. I mean, I'm chomping at the bit, telling God, let me jump on over to verse 11. Let me hit that thing out of the park. Because I want to preach on that, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keeping it till afterwards. I've been wanting. I'm like, God, I see it over. I got it highlighted in my Bible. That's one of my favorite verses. I'm like, Lord, let me go over and get that thing. And he's like, Kevin, by the time we get to that, that might not even be big to you. So then he shows me verse 6 today, and it come real big. And I hope I'm going to help you tonight. I hope you understand what these Proverbs and what we're doing here on Wednesday night. I want to feel the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't mind if God broke out and we just have a time with him, spent 40 to 50 minutes in the altar weeping before God. If you want to do that, I ain't going to be against it. But praise God, what I really would like for you to do as a church member and a person who's attending tonight, I would open your heart and your mind to the physical side of the Word of God and start letting God change some character defects in your life. You're spirit-filled, wanting to love God, wanting to love people. But praise God, sometimes we got some stuff that's rooted in there that we won't get out. And if we don't get it out, God can't use us to the full capability that he wants to use us. Amen? So what we could title this little message right here is, God, I surrender all. Sorry. Chapter 29 and verse 6. And I read this thing and it hit me and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so good. In the transgressions of an evil man, there is a snare. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. And I got two diverging messages off of this, and we're going to go some different places. But I wanted you to see this. Maybe you've not seen it before, and maybe you have. But look right there at this six, on that first part of six. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Underline that word snare right there. Do you understand there's a punishment for sin? For the wages of sin is death? But did you know there's also some snares? Man, that got me, man. That got me because I know the punishment. And we do know the punishment sometimes, don't we? We know, well, if I do this, this is probably the outcome. If I act out in my flesh and I commit a sin, then there is a punishment for that. There is an instant regret, shame, right on the other side of sin. I'll talk about that in a little bit, but right on the other side of sin is shame and guilt, and you go down the other side. But do you know there's some snares that come with that? Don't say amen too loud tonight. Don't get excited when I preach truth to you, okay? Just sit here and just go like, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. I have no idea. Okay, I lived for 30 years in sin, and what I know is when I got into some sin, it didn't just always work out that the punishment, there were also some snares, some traps, some hindrances, some things that wrapped around my life that made me bound from doing the things that God had intended for my life. Amen? Some unintended consequences to my sinful life that I didn't put in the equation that have still hindered me to this day. Still hinder me to this day. There are relationships that I had and things that I done and people I hurt and things that I left undone and things that I should have been better at. But those are the snares that still trip you up in life. Amen? Because sometimes you'll go on talking and somebody else, well, how do you know that? Because I've had experience there. I'm hoping I'm digging in deeper than y'all are letting on right there, because I'm telling you, if we could all put our stuff up on the big screen, that we know there's some things in our lives that were a spinoff of the sin. Yes, there was a punishment. Yes, there was guilt. Yes, we are forgiven, but there is a definite thing that still looms out there that hinders us because we did it. If it ain't nothing but stinking thinking. Amen? If it ain't nothing but how you would deal with other people in situations that are similar. Amen? Man, when I got into that, I was like, wow, Lord. And God automatically says, you know what? The Bible is a commentary of itself. He says, go to James chapter 1, verse 14, and do that with me. James chapter 1, verse 14. What you would do is you would go running towards Revelations, and right before you get there, slam on the brakes. If you're seeing 1 John, 2 John, you're going too far. But there is a principle here tonight that we want to work off on this first part that will help you so much. And if it don't just help you, if you've reached a stage in your life, we'll pretend right here for a second. We're going to take a big trip down pretend lane. We're going to pretend right now that we don't have any issues with sin, right? We don't struggle in any area anymore, really. Pretend big time. We're going to be able to help other people who do, okay? From our experience. We're going to act like we're never going to struggle with having to deal with that sin part, right? Let's just get verse 13 in there too. James 1, 13, let no man say, are y'all looking at that with me? Are y'all seeing it? Okay. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. We found 2 things God can't do tonight. Ain't that amazing? He can't tempt you with evil. Ain't that good? Some people say, well, I think God put that out there for me to do it. No. God did not. That's a choice you have to make. Evil is presented to you by the world, by the lust of your flesh. We'll get into that in a minute. But every man is tempted. Are y'all looking at verse 14 with me? Let me come down here with you guys. But every man is tempted. Y'all see right there. You can't not be tempted. Amen? Temptation is not a sin. Okay? Jesus was tempted. He was tempted. Matter of fact, he was tempted in every way possible. So in every area that you can be tempted as in the flesh, Jesus has been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But you know what? That way we can come boldly to the throne of grace because he's been tempted in every way possible. He understands us. He can relate. I mean, that way when you say to him, Jesus, you're not going to believe what happened. This is how I feel. This is what's going on. He's going to go, I know exactly how you feel. I put one of those flesh suits on myself. I know how it is to carry it, but I sin not, and I was a perfect sacrifice for your sin. Amen? So when you are tempted, I'm about to give you a math equation. Y'all know if we've been here before, you've got that math equation in your book, but if you don't, you can put it in there. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, right? Jesus, the enemy, Satan, and your flesh, the lust, so you can put sin or temptation plus lust. That's the equation, if you want to make it. Temptation plus lust equals, right? Sin. That equals sin, okay? That brings forth death. That brings forth death. All right? That never changes. When you're tempted and you're pulled away by your lust and then you sin, and it brings forth death. That never changes. You can't change that equation. I don't care if everybody in America says, well, that's okay now. This is okay now. That's okay now. If this book or this Bible calls it a sin and you commit it, that's the equation. Now, I want you to get that. I don't want you ever to mistake. Well, they say it's all right. No, they say that this is an old version. This is an old way of thinking. It doesn't matter if they think that way. If God calls it a sin and it is a sin, if you commit that sin, you're going to be accountable. That equation never changes. Amen. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now listen to that word right there. See this word in verse 14, what does it say right there? And enticed. Do you know what another word enticed is? Trapped. Snared. There is your commentary from Proverbs to James is you're trapped. And listen, I love this analogy. I love this thought when you think about being trapped. And when the proverb was getting it. Have you ever seen anything that's ever been caught in a trap? I had this really great thing when I first seen this. I had this message, and I bought this little steel trap, and I loved it. It was like a little rabbit trap, right? I'd set it during the message, right? But see, I'm real ADHD, right? So I could be doing something, and next thing I'm thinking about something else. Well, that's not good when you're setting traps. It's just not, especially when you want to keep all your digits, right? So literally, I'm sitting there, and I set the trap, and I got it all. And this thing's a hair trap. I mean, you know, it's got a little thing. You sit on it, pow, snap. You know, it says on there, it says, it will not kill you, but you will wish you were dead if it snaps on that little finger. I'm just telling you. These things, you know what I mean? Well, I'm messing around with that thing on a regular basis because I want to get it down pat for the message. And I want to throw that little styrofoam cup in there, and that's so pow, and ugh. And, man, I'm just sitting over there messing around with this pencil, and I'm snapping pencils left and right on that thing. And then my ADHD kicks in. I'm thinking about something else, and all of a sudden I'm like, pow, and I almost got my baby finger, right? So after that first time I done the message, I gave that trap away. I said, it's just too dangerous to have around in my life. I can't do that. I'd be the three-fingered preacher, you know what I mean? I didn't want to be that guy. But what I want to tell you about that trap is if you set that trap and you bait it right and you put the right thing on it, you let's just go big. Let's do a bear trap. Y'all ever seen, you know, the cartoons got the big old teeth on it. They throw, you know, a side of beef in there, and all of a sudden the bear comes. If that bear is amazing. You see a Kodiak. I mean, yeah, that thing's beautiful. It's powerful. It'll kill a man. If you're out in the woods with a bear, like a Kodiak bear, you're no longer the apex predator he is, right? He gets on, you ain't got much of a chance. They're awesome animals. But if that bear steps in that trap, even if it don't kill it, if it just maims it, and if it gets out of the trap, it's not going to be the same bear, right? It's not going to be the same bear it was when it got in the trap, right? And that's where we're at. That's what that Proverbs 24 is talking about. Hey, there is a penalty to sin. That instant snap of the trap in your life, that snare tying in on you, yeah, that's part of the punishment, but you're going to be different afterwards. There's going to be consequences to that trap slinging shut. I met some men in my life with a great opportunity to go on death row, and I met men that were on death row and never get off of death row, but got saved on death row. Born again, saved, on fire for God. Usually don't come out of their cell 24 hours a day, 1 hour a day. On fire for God. Talk to them. Man, is there anything I can pray for you about? Here's what they'd say. Pray for me as I leave this life and go into the next life. My consequences. This is the snare. I paid a penalty to the state, to the city, and I'll ultimately pay with my life. But, praise God, the snare ends in this life. But I want you to get this. There are consequences to everything we do. Amen? And I love that in James, verse 15, it says this, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That's the equation. I've got ahead of myself when I said that earlier. It happens. But I want you to get that. When lust is conceived, when you act on that lust and you commit the sin, then there's death coming, death to something. Usually death to your testimony if you're a Christian. Amen? Death to your reputation, death to your name, then you just got the consequences. Then there are some things that you're going to have to explain the rest of your life. There's some things you can do that you got to deal with the rest of your life. And they might turn out to be great blessings. But at the same time, they were going to hinder your walk and your race. There's going to be things. I wish I could get a random thought. I know there's some people in here that if somebody looked at you, they would think, man, they got it all figured out. They're older. They figured it out. They ain't got anything that's still lingering out there that bothers them that they did when they were 19 or 20 or 25 or 30 or 40. I wish sometimes some of my older people, instead of always showing how strong we are and how accomplished we are and how much we got, I wish sometimes we'd go and say, hey, I'm still carrying a burden for something I did when I was 35. Something I did when I was 18 still jumps up every once in a while and gets me. And that would help so many people. Because so many times in our churches, we want to accentuate our strengths and hide our weaknesses. And everybody thinks, man, all you do is great. I've had this conversation here before. I had a group of people meet with me one time, and they wanted to train everybody to do everything like they used to do it. I said, man, that'd be great. But I tell you right now, instead of training them about that, why don't you tell them about your biggest hurt? Tell them how you got hurt the worst. And when you show them where you got hurt the worst, then you can show them a strength of yours. You can show them that amazing recipe. You can show them that, how to fix a button on a shirt. You can show them how to do something. You can show them how to fix a car. Amen? You can show them how to work on that thing on the engine, right? But praise God, why don't you go to them and say, hey, I remember when I was like you. I did this. Still hinders me. I hope I'd help somebody in here. I don't know. Sometimes I look and I feel the same way. So I wonder if that's for another crowd. I guess everybody in here, we've graduated. We've gotten to a place we're just so spiritual, so holy, and we go to church. We're good. I still got things, man, that are wrapped around the axle. I've still got things that are they'll trip you up because that's what a snare does. Amen? That's what a snare does. But ain't you glad? Let's go back. Aren't y'all glad it's only one verse tonight? Don't say amen to that. Jody almost amen me. But first amen for the night. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Now let's get the good part. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. But the right, hey, how about that? How about when you do it right? You sing and rejoice, right? You come out the end of it and you're like, praise God, hallelujah. What does that mean when you sing and rejoice? Can you go on the line with me right there? You're saying, wait a minute, singing and rejoicing. Let's just go ahead and break it down. Singing and dancing. To be dancing and to be singing, you must be free. Amen? I want you to hear something because I'm about to mess with your head. Because when I read that, some of you are sitting there going, okay, so if I do it righteous and I do it right and I do it good, my life's going to be full of singing and dancing. Okay, yeah. But maybe singing and dancing when you didn't think you'd be singing and dancing. All right? Maybe singing and dancing when everybody in the world thought you should be weeping and crying. Maybe when the rest of the world looked at you and went, I can't believe, after all they've been through, they have a song to sing. Amen? A praise to give. They are moving freely. They should be sitting, laying, stagnant. All right? Man, I'm telling you, this thing got good, didn't it? Y'all are kind of skeptical on that one verse thing. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Jesse, you want to learn anything tonight? You want to learn something? I don't want to embarrass you. But I just did. Daniel, where are you, Daniel? There you are. Daniel chapter 3. Can I give y'all something real quick? What's this right here? Daniel and his three friends. Who are they? Y'all are speaking in tongues in here? Did y'all hear that? Somebody says, who is it? Jesse, who is it? Daniel? Shadrach? Is that right? Is that right? Rebecca, let's check her work. Is that right? You sure it's not? Daniel, Hannah, Mishael, and Ezra? Huh? Well, wait a minute. You can't be changing your answers. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14 is where we're going to be. Did you know that they changed Hannah, his name, to Shadrach? Did y'all know that? Do you know what Hannah means? Jehovah is gracious. His name was changed to worship some moon god. Is that amazing? Ain't it amazing that we know that way? Michelle, the one who belongs to God. And the replacement, well, what is God? Right? Azra, Jehovah helps. They changed it to Abednego, servant of Nabo. Ain't that amazing? Ain't it amazing? This is the even better part, the book of Daniel, though, and they try to change his name to Belshazzar, right? Is a certain God protects life. But let me give you this one, just a little wisdom for y'all tonight on a Wednesday night. Do you know what Daniel's name means that he kept all the way through? It means God is my judge. Do you know that if you really study out the book of Daniel, Daniel lived in such a way that I surrender all. He said, I will live my life in a foreign land as if God is my judge. When I stand before God at the end of my life, I will not, God, this is so good, I might run a lap right here. I will not stand before Nebuchadnezzar or any of the other kings that I will work under. I will stand under the Almighty God and give an account for my life. So everything I do, I'll do it as if He's my judge. My God, ain't that good? That's just some names for you. Did y'all learn anything? Be careful that you don't let the world change who God made you to be. Amen? Because the world would like to turn you. We start off in this church as youth and we come up, and he would like to take all that and throw it in the garbage and call you by something of the world instead of something of a child of God. Let me give you that. Verse 14, Daniel chapter 3, verse 14 says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, It is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. And he goes on and he tells them, let's jump down to verse 16. He tells them when the music plays, and when everything's going to be going and everybody falls down to worship, we want you to worship. You've all heard this message a million times. I'm giving you the highlights of it. But I'm using it in contrast with this message over here from Proverbs 29 where I told you that the righteous will sing and they will dance. They will sing and they will be loose. But you're sitting there going, so life is going to be a party. No, it's not always a party, but the dancing and the celebrating, the worshiping and the singing to the Lord can come from the worst circumstances on the face of this planet, even though they are God is bigger than your circumstances. Whew. In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's my favorite part of the whole story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer to you in this matter. Whew. What he said, he says, when they play the music, when the music gets really good and everybody bows down and worships that false idol that I put up, you worship too, or we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And I love their response is this. We are not careful. We are not even considering you when we answer. Whew. It's easy. It's easy. Man, y'all, can I preach to y'all? Can I talk to y'all about this right here for a second? What are you getting offended about? What are you getting mad about? What are you getting upset about? What are you getting to the place where you ain't going to serve God, you ain't going to do this for God, you ain't going to church, you ain't going to do this. These people are here threatened with their lives. When they had the opportunity to bow up and quit on God, you know what they said? We're not even careful to answer you. There ain't nothing you can do to me that's going to make me stop serving God. Period. Ain't that a wonderful thing? If so be our God whom we serve, verse 17, if you are not whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Verse 18 is wonderful. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Goodness gracious. Just stay with me one, two more verses. You know what he just said? Some of y'all need to make that your life verse. No matter what is going to happen, whether God is going to fight for me and deliver, or whether he doesn't, for whatever great reason God has, we're not doing it. We're not quitting. We're not giving up. We're not backing up. We're not going to pack up. We're not going to say, no, I'm not going to do it. We're going to be serving God until the breath comes out of our lungs, or we can't possibly do it. Period. Period. And he said, well, what if they throw us in prison? You can have some of the best church in prison than anywhere. Nobody's leaving. Amen? You should get on their nerves so bad they said, we want to discharge them. Let's go a little bit further, and I'm going to give it to verse 25. Jump all the way down to 25. This is, remember what I said? God, I feel like, I wish I could, but I ain't going. There's some people in here that needs to hear this. You ain't felt like singing, and you ain't felt like dancing. You ain't felt like you're free. But aren't you glad it ain't about what you feel like? Because when that furnace got hooked up and people started dropping because of how hot it was, the last thing on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's mind was celebration. There's going to be times you're going to be at the funeral home. There's going to be times you're going to be at the hospital. There's going to be some times when you think everybody that was going to stand with you didn't, and you're going to stand alone. You're going to have to realize that it's you and God. It's you and God and your relationship with God and for God that's going to get you through. Verse 25, and he answered and said, lo, let me get 24 because it won't make no sense. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up. They're in the furnace. They're in the fire. They should have died. And he spake and he said unto his counselor, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They threw them in there bound up. They answered and said to the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. No, I hope y'all get that. They're in the fire. They're not bound up. They're loose. They should be miserable, but they're moving around. They're with God. They're in a place of worship. When everybody else said, he's going to quit, he's going to give up, this is the worst time of his life, you can say, no, I'm with God. I wonder, every time I read this, I've heard it preached every which way. Everybody can preach that. Anybody can preach that message. I want to know when I get to heaven. The only question I got for them guys is this. Did you know he was in there with you? I hope they didn't have a clue. No, what I'm saying is, I hope they say, we knew. Call it bomb. There's times when I know God's in my presence. Because what should be happening ain't happening. But I hope they said, we didn't see him. Good God. I felt the Holy Spirit. We didn't see him, but we didn't have no hurt neither. When we should have burned up and went away, we just looked at each other and said, we should just start walking around in here. We're loose, praise God. And maybe that everybody else was looking in there, they didn't see God, they felt God, and they didn't have no hurt, but everybody who was looking in, they couldn't just see them, they seen God in them. I love when somebody says that. They say, well, I was watching you the whole time and I seen God in your life. Amen? I seen God in your life. Well, I didn't see him. Didn't say you had to. But you do have to do this. In this life, you're going to have to make up your mind. Are you going to serve your flesh or are you going to serve God? Are you going to make him the Lord of your life, your Savior, and follow him the rest of your life? Are you going to go with yourself? And you say, are you going to promise me a good life? I won't promise you an abundant life. But I will promise you this. At the end, and you meet me in heaven if I'm wrong. You meet me in heaven. And you'll say, I'm praising him up here. I'm singing him up here. And I'm loose up here. Amen? There's many a people. You look and you read them in that Bible and you think, man, what about them? Sawed asunder. Made torches over in Rome. They put them, lit up the Colosseum with their bodies. If you ever read about that, read about the Book of Martyrs. Go in there and read it. It's amazing. Christians in the back of the line were fighting to get in the front of the line. To what? To die first for Jesus. The Christians. They're running into the Colosseum. You know what they said they'd do? They'd come in through the door and they would run to the sides of the arena where all the people were watching and they'd proclaim the gospel. While soldiers and lions and bears would put them to death and they would be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's also known as the church area, the church age of the Philadelphia church. God, I know we're in Laodicean time. I know we are. We're lukewarm. We're spiritually blind. We're rich, but we're broke spiritually as a world. But every once in a while I say, God, will you let us be a remnant? Will you let us be a remnant church that just stands out in the middle of this world and proclaims the gospel? Well, can we be the last? Can we be some of the last people who will just say, I know everybody else is going for numbers. I know everybody else wants to have a church that everybody look at this and look at that. I want God. I would love for God to look down on Flat Top Mountain and go, man, there are some people down there that still just love me and love my gospel and act like I'm going to be their judge at the end of their lives. And whether you act like it or not, my friend, he will be. He will be. We'll walk right up in front of that judgment seat. And it'll either become a mercy seat or a judgment seat. Aren't you glad it can change? For those that are saved, it becomes the mercy seat. For those that are lost, it becomes the judgment seat. God, I hope you know him. I've got snares. I've had to walk through some snares. God's took many of snares off my life, thank God. But I'm so grateful that I'm on that side of salvation, too. That praise God, one day every one of those snares will come falling off. And I will sing and I will rejoice in heaven. Amen. Did y'all learn anything tonight? Let's all stand.